Hello and welcome back to the Maple Leafs Lounge. I am your host, Peter Barrichini, taking a week off. As you know, last week we were talking about the draft combine. Alex took over, but I'm still joined by Alex, my colleague and fellow Maple Leafs writer over at the Hockey Writers. Alex, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing all right, man. Getting closer and closer to the draft and the offseason, which is, of course, what we Leaf fans look forward to at this time of year because we're typically not playing in the Stanley Cup final. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Otherwise, just always glad to be here talking hockey and the week.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, Stanley Cup finals are set. Tampa Bay, Colorado, that is going to be probably the most fun Stanley Cup final that we have seen in some time. Head-to-head offense, great defense. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be no defense at all with the way that the offense has been clicking for both teams. Before we get into the show, this episode is once again brought to you by themorningskate.io, the daily newsletter delivered to your inbox Monday to Friday, jam-packed with all the best hockey stuff on the planet from the Hockey Writers writing team. It's your daily dose of news, rumors, histories, funnies, quizzes, et cetera, you name it. You get it all delivered to your inbox. All you got to do is just type in your email in the description below. You will see a link there and you will get all the content that you would like to see. Kicking off our show, Alex, actually, we're going to start off with an article that you wrote that I really found really interesting. And the talk has been nonstop in terms of what the Maple Leafs should do at the draft. Should they keep their first round pick? We've seen them trade down in the past before. And you proposed a trade with the Arizona Coyotes, and we know how rich they are in terms of picks in this draft. You proposed a pick 34 and 45 to Toronto in exchange for the 25th pick, their first rounder, to Arizona for let me start that again. Pick 34 and 45 to the Maple Leafs from the Coyotes, and in exchange, Arizona gets pick 25, Peter Mrazek, Joey Anderson, and Mikhail Abramov. This is a really interesting trade. How did you come up with this and what led you to this decision and, or this projection?
Well, I think the first thing was that you look at the Leafs draft capital and it's pretty limited. Once again, the Leafs only have three picks in this draft class. And I think that was kind of okay to get away with last draft class because the 2021 class wasn't the strongest. But on the other hand, the 2022 draft class is much stronger than the 2021 class. And so I think if I were in Kyle Dubas' shoes, I'd probably want to stock up the draft closet just a little bit. So I look at the Coyotes and they've got seven picks in the top 62 or 64 rather. So they've got three first round picks. They've got their, obviously their pick at third overall. And then they've got two first rounders near the end of the first round. And then they've got four second round picks. And the Coyotes, as we all know, for the longest time have been scraping near the bottom of the barrel. They've been drafting high, usually find themselves competing for the draft lottery rather than the playoffs each year. So you'd have to imagine that they're kind of getting tired of talking about high draft picks. So the trade that I proposed was essentially one where I think it benefits both the Leafs and the Coyotes pretty equally. So basically, typically when you look at a trading down scenario, it's not a first for two second round picks. Usually it's something like a first for a second and say like a third or a fourth round pick. And so I think that if you were to leave it at just the picks and say Leafs get 34 and 45 from Arizona in exchange for 25, I think that kind of tips in Toronto's favor a little more, especially since there's a lot of fluidity between the 20th, like say 20th overall around there and like 60th overall. You could have, we saw the Senators take Tyler Boucher 10th overall. So anything's possible at the draft. So that alone, I think it would tip sort of in Arizona or in Toronto's favor. So what I've got it doing to sort of even it out is you've got Peter Mrazek, who the Leafs, I think, are going to be trying to shop because, you know, I personally still have faith that Mrazek can turn it around and find his game and at least bounce back from last season. But the problem is that that's not a gamble that the Leafs can afford to make, because if he doesn't find his game again, then they're stuck with a goalie that they can't trust in between the pipes and a guy that's making $3.8 million where that money could easily be spent elsewhere. So you look at Arizona, they've only got Karel Vemelka under contract for next year. The Harry Sateri, of course, the waiver claim from the Leafs, as we all know, is a UFA. And unless they plan on re-signing him, Karel Vemelka is their only goalie. And they've also got a ton of cap space to work with. So I think they have around $33 million in cap space, and the only really notable free agents they got to worry about re-signing are Lawson Crouse and Barrett Hayton in terms of the future anyways. So the way I see it, the Leafs give them Mrazek because they can afford to take on a contract like that. And not only can they do that, but if Mrazek does end up finding his game, and I said in the article as well that, you know, he does have a modified no trade clause. So there will be 10 teams that the Leafs can't trade him to, but based on my own speculation, I would say that, you know, the perfect place for him to go and try and find his game again after playing in a media hotbed like Toronto would be with a team like Arizona, where the microscope's not going to be on him 24/7, right? So they can afford to make that gamble and try and get him to find his game again. And if he does find his game again, all of a sudden, Mrazek's a guy that you can use as a trade chip at the deadline for a team looking for another goalie. So I think Arizona could find some use in him there. But at the same time, asking them to take Mrazek's salary is going to be a little bit of a big ask, because he is making $3.8 million. He was the worst goalie in the league last year, or at least one of them, which is why I'm adding in Anderson and a guy like Mikhail Abramov. And those two names aren't set in stone. They're just sort of the types of prospects I would throw in to even it out. Anderson's a guy that the Leafs, you know, brought in when he had a little bit of NHL experience, like 18 games or something like that, I guess in hopes that he could challenge for a spot on the roster. But between the two seasons he spent here, he's only played 6 games. So I think he's a guy that could hold down a bottom six job in the NHL, but it doesn't look like he'll get that opportunity in Toronto. And then Mikhail Abramov's just a guy who I think he's still got potential. I think he could be a solid middle six center at the NHL level. I think it's just the fact that the Leafs don't necessarily need him. Like, he's not a must keep prospect, but he's a guy that a team like Arizona could potentially provide with an opportunity down the line. And I think they're just a team that could probably afford to give him that opportunity and will probably find more value in him than the Leafs would. So overall, I think the Leafs, it's important for them to expand their draft capital, which is why I've got them taking on the 2 second rounders as opposed to the late first rounder. They lose Mrazek's contract in the process. Arizona is a team that could give him a chance to rebound, and they can actually afford his salary and afford to take it on. And then the prospects are in there to even it out. So that's kind of where I was thinking and where my head was at when I planned out that trade.
Yeah, it's a really great proposal. I mean, no doubt about that. And, you know, Anderson and Abramov, I really think that falling down the depth charts, considering where they are, I think they're in that, like, you know, 10 to, you know, 15 range. And in terms of the picks itself, I think Toronto could get more value out of possibly the 2 seconds than the first. And I think if you give the first Arizona, that would give them 4 in round one, where they'll probably take Logan Cooley 3rd overall. They have Carolina's pick. They have Colorado's pick as well. So they have 1 in the top and then 3 in the later portions of the round, where you still could get a great prospect. It's going to benefit them very well. I mean, it would still benefit Toronto even more, but considering the Leafs never had a first round pick in 2020 since 2020 with Rodion Amirov, I think maybe they would like to keep it. But at the same time, they have talked to players that they're really high on in the second round, and they don't have a pick. So if they're able to get the 2, that is going to be really helpful and beneficial. And who knows, maybe one of the names that they have in the first round could drop to the second, or they have a feeling that that could happen and they could take them early on in the second. I know maybe I view, no, for example, I view Noah Osslin as a first rounder, but other outlets have him in the top 20 range that could see him pushed out of the first round. Maybe Toronto could make a swing there and then take him later on. Who knows, but that's going to be very interesting to see. And yeah, Peter Mrazek, I think he deserves a fresh start. I just think he couldn't handle it. I think it was a bit too much pressure, but also the injuries didn't help either. 3 straight groin injuries, not ideal, especially in with the Maple Leafs, where you needed solid backup and you just didn't get the results. And I think they tried to move on from that. They even, you know, parted ways with goaltender coach Steve Briere. So I think, you know, the goaltending is going to be very important heading forward, especially in this off season right now.
Yeah. And the other thing, sorry, just one thing real quick before we move on that I want to mention. I got some comments on this article saying, why would the Leafs want to move on, like throw away another first round pick? Like, they don't have that stacked of a cupboard of draft picks and prospects right now. Like, why would they want to give away their first round pick after they haven't had one since 2020? And to that I say, the Leafs are capable of finding first round talents outside of the first round. You look at Matthew Nyes, for example. This guy's he's the Leafs' top prospect right now. And the Leafs drafted him, what was it, 57th overall, I think it was?
57th, and he easily could have probably been top 20, top 25.
At this point, yeah. And that's obviously a hindsight thing. He definitely slipped for a reason. But the point is, and then you look at it, for example, Roni Hirvonen, he was talked about, he could have potentially been a first round pick. Topi Niemelä, he wasn't Topi wasn't, I don't think he was ever projected to go in the first round, but he's a guy who, seeing the way he broke out in Finland, he absolutely, I think a team, mm-hmm. if they knew the way that he'd break out the way he did, would have taken a flyer on him in the first round. So trading the first round pick does not mean the Leafs won't get a first round talent in the draft. It just means that by giving themselves two second round picks, they're giving themselves two opportunities to do so.
Definitely. And again, this happened back in 2015, where they had the 24th pick, traded down twice to get a second or 2 seconds, one early, one late. So we'll see what happens. Kyle Dubas is no stranger to trading down and acquiring more picks. So we will see come draft day what happens then. Kind of building off on our last segment towards the end, where we were talking about Peter Mrazek and the goaltending situation, there's a name already in the rumor mill right now. I believe it was tweeted out there that reporter Chris, aka Chris Johnson, on TSN 1050 said that the Leafs could be interested in Senators goalie Matt Murray. Obviously, we know the Sioux connection there. Matt Murray was a Sioux Greyhound. Kyle Dubas, GM of the Sioux Greyhounds, very familiar with him. I'm just going to throw this out there. Is Matt Murray an ideal candidate, whether it's for a starter or for a backup role?
I mean,
I'm probably
based on the way that the Leafs signing of Peter Mrazek went, I don't know why they would even be entertaining the idea of bringing Matt Murray in. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but you look at this guy's contract, he's making $6.25 million right now, and he's going to be making that this season and next season. So I don't understand why the Leafs, when they've already got Peter Mrazek there, who, you know, I'm not going to compare him to Matt Murray, but he's been, he's had his good seasons lately as well. Like, aside from this past season, he's a guy you can bank on giving you some good games. He's making $3.8 million, which is just over half of what Matt Murray's making. And he's also got 2 years left. So I don't understand why the Leafs would go to an effort to trade Peter Mrazek, but then at the same time bring in a guy who's also had injury issues, who's also been inconsistent in recent years. Granted, he has been playing for a pretty terrible Ottawa Senators team, but this just seems like the exact opposite of what Kyle Dubas should be thinking about right now and what he would be wanting to do. I think the only way that I can kind of justify this in my mind is if the Leafs bring back Jack Campbell, first of all, because I don't think they'd want to go into next season with Matt Murray as their number one option. Getting Jack Campbell re-signed, and then maybe in a trade with Ottawa where they retain 50% of his salary or something to that effect. Because at that point, Murray's kind of making around where Mrazek's making right now, and it's still not great. But I just think that, once again, there's too many risks involved. You just, you know, the way that this season went with Mrazek and the Leafs signing him, taking a flyer on him, knowing his durability issues and knowing the risks that came with it. Obviously, I don't think anyone could have predicted how terrible he played this year, aside from his injuries, but it's just that it's one of those things where it's a big risk to take. And I think that if the Leafs are serious about having a good goaltending tandem, I don't think Matt Murray should be their number one option.
Yeah. Obviously you mentioned the retained salary. That's going to have to be issue thing number one. Ottawa's going to have to retain 50% because there's no way, with the way that he's playing right now, he's worth 6.25. And apparently he is still on injured reserve right now, so we don't know exactly how that's going to unfold. You mentioned his injury history, even dating back to the Pittsburgh Penguins when he had success and he won those two cups. A little bit of a concern. He's considering how much time he has missed. And obviously, yeah, he has the two cups. I think that's the only reason why you would entertain the offer or the potential for Matt Murray. But at the same time, his play has declined significantly, and that's going to be pretty telling. And like you said, it is counterintuitive when you want to try and improve the goaltending situation after what happened with Peter Mrazek, and you try and bring in another player that's basically on par with Peter Mrazek at this point. Another thing is, going back to the draft capital, Ottawa does have Tampa Bay's second rounder. I think if they sweeten the deal along with the retained salary to take on Matt Murray, if they add in that second rounder, they're not going to part ways with their first, although Toronto could make better on the first rounder than Ottawa probably at this point. I do think that it could be something to entertain, whether they throw in another solid depth piece or depth player that you could probably look forward to and can make a significant impact on the team. I don't know, like, based on their star players at this point, you're not looking. So I did see someone mention Connor Brown as a possibility. 3.6, yeah, it's still great, but at the same time, I don't see them parting ways with Connor Brown. He was too much of an important factor for them, and he's probably going to command more once he becomes a free agent. So to just get one more season out of Connor Brown doesn't quite make sense. You could probably look and find somebody in their farm system, but then again, it's going to be really difficult and very, again, it kind of just seems counterintuitive at this point to try and bring in and upgrade Peter Mrazek with Matt Murray. It does not seem like a big upgrade at all.
No, it doesn't. And even if they go the route that you were suggesting where, you know, Ottawa sweetens the pot by throwing in a first round pick or a prospect or a roster player or something like that, Toronto's not in a position of a team that takes deals like that. Like I just talked about how Arizona would take Peter Mrazek and a couple of prospects and the Leafs first rounder in order to trade down. The rebuilding teams are the ones that take on bad contracts and you sweeten the pot by giving them draft picks. The Leafs aren't in a position to do that. They don't need, like, I don't understand. It's not like the Leafs would be trading for Matt Murray to, you know, give him a chance to revive his game, right? Like you're not sending Matt Murray somewhere where the pressure's not on. And, you know, he can focus on getting his own form back as much as he can focus on the team winning. Like that Toronto would be probably the last place a guy like him would want to go at this point. So they're just not in the position to make a trade like that. And even if, like you said, you threw in first round pick and a prospect or something, that's great. But at the same time, is it worth the Leafs committing one half their goaltending tandem and Matt Murray? I don't think so.
No. And again, the only way you're probably looking to make a deal is if you're not trading for Matt Murray. You're mentioning to trade a John Gibson. You're looking to trade a Connor Hellebuyck. If you need to make a shakeup and Jack Campbell walks, you're going to have to move a star player. And in this case, I know we've talked about before, probably looking at William Nylander at this point. And I know we hate to bring this up because he's had such a great season. We know who he is at this point in terms of his play on the ice. It's just, if you want to succeed and you just look at Andrei Vasilevskiy and Igor Shesterkin right now, you need a goaltender to take you far into the playoffs and be a pillar in net. If Jack Campbell walks, Jack Campbell is that player. We've seen him go toe-to-toe and out-duel Andrei Vasilevskiy despite Tampa Bay winning. That's going to be the only scenario. If Jack Campbell walks, you're looking to make a trade, and you're not trading to get Matt Murray because I don't think there's going to be any upside, and I just don't think he could get a season back on track. If he was still putting up the consistency like he was in Pittsburgh before everything started to happen, then yeah, you would definitely consider it. But big gamble to take if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially for someone like Kyle Dubas, who, you know, and people are always going to go to war with me about this, and I've made peace with that, but it would add, like, for a guy that's already taking just about as much heat as you can get from like all corners of the fan base, like taking a gamble on a guy like Matt Murray would be the absolute last thing he should be wanting to do to save his job. So
yeah, definitely. If anything, the gamble for Gibson or Hellebuyck would be much greater.
Mm-hmm.
Recapping the show, once again, this episode is brought to you by MorningSkate.io, a daily newsletter delivered to your inbox Monday to Friday, jam-packed with all the best hockey stuff on the planet. It's your daily dose of news, rumors, funnies, histories, quizzes, you name it, you get it all. All you have to do is type in your email in the link in the description below, and you'll get all the great content brought to you by the Hockey Writers writing staff. As we talked about previously with draft picks and everything like that, and as you mentioned at the top of the show, the draft is, you know, just under a month away. We're getting set. We're prepping everything right now. If you haven't checked out the THW draft guide, do so. It's free. We're approaching 140 profiles. You get features, rankings, you name it, team content. It's all there. Little shameless plug for the draft guide.
We have the best draft guide of any hockey outlet out there. And that's not a biased statement at all, I promise. I thought that before I started writing here.
Appreciate that. It's free, great content from all of our writing staff diving into the prospect content. Check that out. As we mentioned before, the Maple Leafs still have their first round pick, again, to be determined. We don't know if they're going to trade it or not, but they are picking 25th overall. And we had hypothetical scenarios before, but given where they are right now, how it's solidified, who is one first round draft target that you are keeping an eye on right now?
I think I told you what my first round draft target was last week.
Yeah.
And I am. Yeah. And you know what?
I got you hooked on that.
if scouts share a brain with our producer, who's behind the scenes right now, Matthew Zader, then I think my dream for 25th overall is going to be in the camp. But as of right now, if he slips to 25, I want the Leafs to take Rucker McGroarty and nobody else. He's you know, we've already talked about, we talked about him last week. He's a guy who models this game after Matthew Tkachuk, maybe with a little less of the pest aspect to it. He's a guy that plays hard. He's got decent size already. He's 6'1", about 200 pounds. I think he can play both center and wing. And he's one of what, three players ever from, was it Nebraska? Three players Nebraska. Ever from
he
Nebraska.
He would be the fourth player from Nebraska to be drafted.
Yeah. Sorry. One of four players. So he would be the fourth player from Nebraska to be drafted. And he's a Leafs fan. I mean, if you can find a Leafs fan who plays that style of game and he's from Nebraska, where there's probably no other Leafs fans out there, you got to take a chance on him. So if he falls to 25, I would be picking up the phone immediately and making that selection. But if he's not there in the potentially likely event that he's not, then there are a number of different guys I'm looking at. I'm big into Ryan Chesley. I think he's a guy that the Leafs could fit into their defensive core pretty nicely. I think Kalle Odelius, as I said, I took him in the THW mock draft. I'm sure there were some people out there that were upset that I took a small, smooth skating Swedish defenseman, but I mean, you know, that's just the way that some people will think about prospects. Otherwise, I think that, like I said, when we were talking about the proposed trade, anything between 20th and 60th overall, I think could be interchangeable. So there are lots of guys there that I'd be willing to entertain, but McGroarty, if nobody else, if not, then maybe one of Chesley or Odelius.
Absolutely. I'm very high on all three, and I mentioned them in my top five. I also mentioned, and I previously mentioned him at the top, Noah Osland. They need center depth. I think that the center position is really weak. Obviously, McGroarty would be great on the right side, but if you were able to get someone as skilled and dynamic and just absolutely dangles with the puck constantly, is Noah Osland. And we saw that at the U18s. He was an absolute force for Sweden. But I'm going to add in two more, you know, potential scenarios where if they drop, I could see the Maple Leafs taking them. I think there's a lot of hype around Marco Kasper. I think he's going to get taken in the top 15 based on his testing results, based on his play and his work ethic. I think teams are going to be all over him early on in the draft. But I'm looking at Ivan Miroshnichenko, and this is going to be the scenario where Timothy Liljegren 2.0, where he was a top pick in the draft in 2017, dropped to 17 to the Maple Leafs, and they're starting to reap the rewards right now with his patience and two-way play. And building into a Mark Giordano type mold where he's physical, he could do everything, transitional play, shooting the puck. Everyone was wanting to trade Liljegren because it took so long, but then again, he's still very, very young and he's developing very nicely. I think the same situation can happen with Miroshnichenko. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, but he was given the clear to resume practicing on the ice, and that is a good sign. I believe he did receive his last treatment, and that's what led to him getting the okay to go back on the ice. And if that's a scenario or the situation where maybe he drops further into the draft and he goes to the Maple Leafs, given his size, given his ability to be a factor on the forecheck, his shot, his menacing size, I think it's something that the Maple Leafs can look at and use to their advantage and find value if he continues to drop to them. So, I mean, obviously Noah Osland would be my safe bet, but I wouldn't count that out if a situation happens, if Kasper or Miroshnichenko do drop.
Yeah, I didn't consider Miroshnichenko. I think he would be a definitely. I like the comparison to Liljegren there, because Liljegren is a guy who at one point was the second ranked player in that draft class after Nolan Patrick. So
yeah,
I remember being super excited when the Leafs were able to draft Liljegren at 17th overall. And who knows, maybe they repeat something like that this year with Miroshnichenko, depending on where he goes.
Absolutely, and that's why I think, and not only that, they went the Russian route with Rodion Amirov. They started to see promise again before his cancer diagnosis. And again, we still hope that Rodion Amirov is doing well. And maybe they could find the same value with Miroshnichenko, and maybe that familiarity between the two prospects, hopefully they find common ground, and maybe Amirov puts in a good word for Miroshnichenko. Who knows? Well, we'll see down the road. Moving on to third round targets. Obviously, this is going to be a little bit more difficult than the draft because, like you said, second round, late round first to the late second, anything can happen. But the Maple Leafs do hold a third round pick. I believe it is going to still be late in the draft. My computer is acting up really, really slow right now, and that's not ideal. They would be picking 79th overall in the third round. So obviously a little bit too unpredictable at that point, because that's when things could just start going off the rail. But who would you have in mind at 79th overall?
I've got two guys. First one is a guy that I did a prospect profile on, Serbak Petrovsky. He spent this season playing for, I believe, the Owen Sound Attack. And he was a rookie this year, but he was fourth in scoring on the team. He's a guy, I believe he had something to the effect of, I want to say maybe 52 points in 64 games or something. I kind of just pulled those numbers out of nowhere, but they were in that there. It was in that realm of production. And he's a guy that's already got a pretty strong two-way game. And he's another one of those Slovakian prospects. The Slovakians are taking over this draft. There's so many of, there's a new wave of them coming in, hoping to carry on the legacies of guys like Marian Hossa. So I think it would be cool. I think Petrovsky, another guy, like you mentioned, the weak center depth, he plays center. So that would be another guy to add into the mix there. And another guy that I've had my eye on is Vincenz Rohrer. And he's a guy that I drafted on behalf of the Anaheim Ducks in our THW mock draft. I draft him in the late second round, but he's a prospect I think could go anywhere between the second and the fourth round. And, you know, reading about his game, he played for the Ottawa 67s of the OHL this year, Austrian players, who's, I think he would become the 17th Austrian player ever to be drafted this year. So I think he's definitely a guy that I'd be looking at the draft as well. We described Colin Blackwell earlier on this year as an energy bug. Rohrer's the exact same way. He plays with a lot of energy. He says he's really, really competitive in everything he does. And I love watching players like that personally. I don't know about you. A lot of fun, easy on the eyes. So I would definitely consider one of those two players if I was at the helm for 79th overall.
No, definitely great picks. And yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of those type of players, as you mentioned. This is a toss up for me. I think that I am really big on Bo Jelsma. Again, I kind of wrote his profile, a little bit of bias there, but at the same time, I do love his energy and the skill that he brings as a centerman. I thought he was very underrated for the Barry Colts this season. Great intensity, great work ethic. He's got the hands and he's a big driver to the net. He's not the biggest guy, but he shows no fear. And I think if you could get a little bit more, not necessarily consistency out of him, but if he could amp up the intensity a little bit more and be a bit more aggressive than what he already is, I think he's going to be a very, very valuable pick for not just the Maple Leafs, but any team in that position, because he's got a very good foundation. Obviously, his shot could be worked on, not very much of a threat outside, but if he's going to be a pest in the crease and utilize his hands, I think that's going to be great. And before we talked on the show, I was mentioning this player as well that, I hate to pick both of my profiles that I wrote, but George Fregaris from the OJHL North York Rangers. You know, you hear about players like Jack McBain, who was drafted by the Minnesota Wild out of the OJHL, Ryan Torberg in 2020 with the Maple Leafs. Both had great production in college, especially Torberg as a Maple Leaf pick right now. But Fregaris is another player that I think has a lot of tremendous upside. And he's a player that's projected to possibly be a top 100 pick. And if he goes somewhere in between the third or fourth round, I think that's going to be great value for him. I love his mobility. I love his decision-making. He's got a powerful shot and he's got great accuracy. It seems like everything that he throws on net, it's always resulting in a dangerous chance or it goes in the back, even if it's on a bad angle. So I think with his intensity, with his work ethic, with his developing two-way game, really great defensively. I think, again, with young defensemen his age, decision-making could be a little bit better. But if they were able to grab a right-handed shots, offensive, puck-moving, two-way defender, if you could combine all three of those categories into one, it wouldn't surprise me. If they went the OJHL route before with Torberg, I wouldn't be surprised if they try and go the same route with Fregaris, who was the top rookie and top prospect for the OJHL this year. So those are my two picks.
Yeah. I noticed you've been on the Fergus train lately, and I'm looking forward to seeing where his name goes on draft day.
Yeah. Again, I honestly think that I projected to possibly be a fourth, but I view him as a top 100 prospect. And, you know, I had him ranked low on my May rankings, but he shot up my board given what I've seen. And I think there's a lot of promise right there. And with the right team, again, not necessarily just the Maple Leafs, if the right team develops him properly, they're going to get good value out of him. And those mid-round picks can be extremely valuable.
Absolutely.
And that is it for this week's show. Thank you for tuning in. Once again, this episode is brought to you by MorningSkate.io, daily newsletter filled with the best rumors, hockey history, funnies, quizzes, you name it. All you got to do is type in your email below to get the newsletter into your inbox every single day. Link in the description is below. You'll get all the great content brought to you by the great Hockey Writer staff every single day. You will not regret it. Once again, that is it for this episode of the Maple Leafs Lounge. For Alex Hobson, I'm Peter Barachini, and we'll see you next time.